able to gather together and worship together, right?
Amen.
Want to mention to you that Ted was hoping to be able to be here this morning, but is it allergies or cold or what is it? He's just really having a rough time, and so please keep Ted in your prayers also, right? The Christian atheist. People who believe in God yet live as though He doesn't exist. This is a new study that we are beginning today, and it's from a work by a man by the name of Craig Groeschel. Now, we're going to, as we begin this lesson this morning, we're going to be talking about some introductory things concerning this topic. Just for your program note for you, next week, Cindy and I will be out of town. We're going to be actually in South Carolina at a barbecue competition that our kids, our grandkids and all, are going to be involved in with us. Dale is going to be speaking next Sunday here, but when we come back the following week, we will get into the meat of looking at the Christian atheist. So let's talk about some introductory things about this topic. What is it really all about? We begin by just looking at the question, what is an atheist? Okay? Well, an atheist is basically someone who does not believe that God exists, period. Okay? Now, it comes from the Greek, the word ah, which means without, and theos, which is God, so therefore without God. Okay? And so there are a whole bunch of people in this world who are of that mindset that God simply does not exist. There is no God, period. Okay? Now, for those people that, you know, spend a lot of money and they put up billboards and all that to proclaim, you know, signs on buses and all the other efforts that they make to proclaim that there is no God, the Bible has something to say about them. The psalmist writes in Psalm 14 and verse 1, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." I don't know about you, but it seems to me really foolish to spend all that time and all that money and all that energy on something that you don't believe exists. That's kind of foolish to me, I believe, you see. But that's what atheism is really all about. But then that brings us to the question, well, why this study? Why a study on Christian atheists? I mean, that's almost, you know, that's an oxymoron. It's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? A Christian atheist? Because Christians believe in God. Well, where does the atheism part come in? Well, that's really what we need to be focusing on. We need to get a better understanding of this whole idea of what being a Christian atheist really means. Because, you see, I think there's an awful lot of us out there, people who believe in God, you see, but they live like He doesn't exist. Okay? And that's what we're going to be focusing on here. In other words, it's people who, they have their beliefs, but their beliefs don't have any real impact on their daily lives. You see, I believe in God, but it doesn't really have anything to do with how I live. And so we see in a nation full of people who claim to be Christians and claim to be believers in God, that pornography, for example, is a widespread problem the way that it is. And in a nation who believes this, why is abortion even an issue? You say. And why is gay marriage even an issue in a nation full of people who claim to believe in God? In fact, 85%, statistically, 85% of Americans claim to believe in God. But our society does not reflect that 85%. You see? How we know that? Well, just take a look at what's going on. Just for a moment, look at and consider that in the top 10, okay, the top 10 most popular what are called sitcoms on TV, situation comedies on TV. The top 10 in America. In an America where 85% of people claim to believe in God, these are among the top 10. How I Met Your Mother. Two and a Half Men. Californication, and two broke girls. Now, I've not watched these programs. The commercials are bad enough, okay, to tell me that I don't even want to see them. But these are among the top 10 comedy programs, comedy, you say, in America today. Christian atheists. You say, what we want to do in this study is to examine some of the issues and the factors that really kind of bring this on and cause this Christian atheism phenomenon that we have going on. So we're going to look at some things like questions that people have and issues that they have, like it's when you believe in God but you still worry all the time. And what is that worry? How does that affect your daily life in Christ? It's like when you believe in God but you aren't really sure that He loves you. And how does that affect your daily walk with God? Or it's when you believe in God but just not in His church. Okay. Things that really contribute to people's feelings that, yes, I believe in God, but here's a situation, here's the circumstances that I'm struggling with that aren't really helping me in my daily walk with God. You see, what we have is this idea of a Christian atheist is people who say, well, yes, I believe in God, but... You see, there's a qualifier there. You see? And so you fill in the blank with whatever. I do believe in God, but... Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. I was at a restaurant the other day, and I was sitting there waiting, you know, to be served, and I was reading this book. I was reading this book, and... the waitress came up to my table and she asked me what I was reading. She saw me reading. She said, what are you reading? And I told her. And so that kind of developed into a religious conversation for a couple of minutes. And so we're talking a little bit, and so she declared that yes, she believed in God, and yes, indeed, she was even a Christian. And so I asked her, I said, well, where do you go to church? And she said to me, well, I believe people should worship God as they think best. And that pretty well ended the conversation. You see, I believe in God, but I think people ought to be able to worship God how they want to instead of somebody telling them what to do. Well, in my opinion, that somebody is God. He's already done that. And if you believe in God and you want to live your life for Him, then you follow what He says. But Christian atheists are folks who say, yeah, I believe in God, but, you say, and there's that qualifier. It's people, because we have these varying beliefs about belief. You ever think about it that way? You see, a lot of people, you know, when we talk about belief, a lot of people have all kinds of different ideas and beliefs about that. And so the issue then oftentimes comes to, well, belief is what you make it to be. You say, everybody has to believe as they believe right, is one way that some people put it. So we end up with these different ideas and concepts of what it really means to believe in God. Okay? For instance, there are those folks that believe and teach, you say, that as long as you believe in God, then you're okay. That's all you have to do. In fact, there are mainline denominational churches that are teaching that as their main authority. John 3:16. All you have to do is believe and you'll be saved. Okay? And there are those people who believe that all you have to do is keep the Ten Commandments. Just follow the Ten Commandments and you'll be okay. You'll go to heaven. I've heard more people say you'll be okay rather than you'll go to heaven. I'm not exactly sure what they mean by you'll be okay, you say. But that's their belief system. Why do we have this battle that's been going on for years now, several years, between the atheists, again, fighting over something they don't even believe exists, They don't want the Ten Commandments posted on any public buildings, any government buildings, or anything else. So they're waging war against publishing or posting the Ten Commandments. And then you got all those others who say, yeah, we need to have the Ten Commandments because why the Ten Commandments? If you just follow those, you'll be okay. A belief system. There are those folks who say, I don't believe that you really have to go to church in order to worship God. You say, well, you know, the writer of Hebrews tells us not to do what? Not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, you say. But there are those folks who say, well, you know, I just think you can, you know, you don't have to be there to worship. In fact, there are some folks who say, you know, I prefer to worship God on my own in nature. I can go to the lake, or I can go to the mountains, or I can go here out in the meadow, or wherever, and just commune with God, just He and I together, and that's how I choose to worship God. Okay. And people tend oftentimes to make worship as convenient as they can for themselves. See? It's people, you see, what we have to understand is that people do live according to or based on what we believe. You see? And again, we go back to that idea saying, I do believe in God, but, and there's that qualifier again. You see? Something in there that we want to make sure that we, in a sense, sometimes have a loophole. Or whatever the case may be. I do believe in God. I profess. In fact, there are many people who will get really angry with you if you question whether or not they believe or if they are a Christian. But, you say, yes, I'm a Christian, but I know what the Bible says, but, you say, and a lot of people kind of take this approach to following the Bible, that they claim they acknowledge as God's Word and they believe in it, but yet they pick and choose the parts that they like and don't like, and they scratch out or avoid the places they don't like, and they're just going to follow the places that they agree with or like, you see? Now, let me just ask you a question here about this for a moment. You know, we had, I don't see any of our military. We got any military people here this morning? Okay. Constance, right? Constance. You have in the military, those of you who have served in the military, you know, they have a uniform code of military justice, right? And they have all the laws and rules of the military, right? Okay. How would it be, Constance, if you were to sit down with those manuals and do this and just kind of scratch through the parts that you know, I don't like saluting my superiors, so I'm not going to do that. You know, the orders that my commanders give me, if I like the orders, I'll follow those. If I don't, then I won't do that. She's back and shaking her head. Well, no, that's not going to happen. Right? Okay, well, we say, well, that's the military. You know, they're kind of strict and all that kind of stuff, you know. But how many of you at your jobs have an office manual or a book that tells you what you're supposed to do and how things are supposed to work, what the rules and regulations of the office are? How many of you have that? Something like that. Okay, some of you have nothing, right? Okay, you just make it up as you go. But most of us have, we have these guidelines, these rules, and so forth. How would it go for you at work if you did that? You see, if you know, your boss is saying, you know, you need to arrive at work at 9:30 or 9 o'clock or 8:30 or whatever, you go, I'm too early for me. I think I'll show up at 10. I think I'll leave at 3. I don't really like this kind of work, so I'm not going to do that part of my job. I'll just kind of let somebody else in. How would that work for you, suppose? You see? Same thing at school. Those of you who are in school, you say that school has a manual, you know, and it has all the rules and the policies and so forth. Do you get to go through that and just kind of pick the ones you want to follow and throw the ones out that you don't know? We don't do that in any other aspect of life, do we? But yet, we find it very easy and convenient to do that with the Bible all the time, claiming to believe in God and to be Christian. Say, we won't do that with anything else, but we'll do that with the God of the universe's word. Say, and so what ends up happening is lives of Christian atheists do not reflect the life of Christ. You say, what's happening here is we get into this whole idea of talking talk. You say, a lot of people make a lot of bold claims and make a lot of talk about being a Christian or being a believer in God. But the question is, are they really following what they're saying? Jesus asked this question to those who were following after him. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Now, in order to really understand the impact of what Jesus is saying, notice he's saying, not, you know, why do you call me friend, but why do you call me Lord, Lord? You see, that term is one that referring to him as a master, which means that you are his slave. Not just servant, but his slave. You say? Now, in the real world of masters and slaves, slaves don't get to decide what they're going to do or not do that the master tells them to do. You say, that just didn't happen. And so Jesus is asking that question. Why are you saying that I'm your Lord, but you're not going to do what I tell you to do? And again, keep in mind, he's not talking about the folks out there that deny him at all. He's just simply talking about the people that are claiming to follow him. They're calling him their Lord. Christian atheists, you say. What Jesus is doing is calling our hand on the disparity between what we say and what we do. And so, in other words, it's almost like Jesus saying, look, either do it or stop talking about it. If you're not going to do what I tell you to do, then stop calling me your Lord. You say, if you're not going to follow my instructions, then don't claim that you're following me. Okay? And so we can almost picture Jesus asking this question. Why do people claim to believe in God, then totally ignore everything that Scripture teaches? You see, it's one thing to make a claim, but it's another thing to follow through. You see, a lot of people, they want to be forgiven, but they don't want to be transformed. You see, they want the convenience on one hand, but not the sacrifice. Christian atheists. They want the forgiveness of their sins, but they don't want to have to change their lives. You see, you're going down the road of life, and then you encounter Jesus, and it sounds really good, and you go, okay, yeah, that's what I want, but no, I don't really want to take that exit because I like the direction my life is going in. And you simply cannot follow Jesus and continue living the life that you've been living, continue going down the road you were going down. If you could, okay, if you could do that, what do you need Jesus for? Right. You see? And so a lot of people want the benefits, but they don't want the sacrifice. They don't want to change their lives, you see? There's a lot of people that have been convinced, but they haven't really been converted. You see, conversion means or has the idea behind it of changing from one thing to another. That's what repentance means.
Amen.
You see? And so a lot of people have been convinced that there is a God, and he's the God of the universe, and yeah, I'm a sinner, and he died for my sins, and so on and so forth, but they haven't really been converted. So that lack of conversion doesn't translate into changes in their daily lives, you see. And people don't mind religion as long as it doesn't interfere with their life. As long as I can keep doing the things I'm doing, then everything is fine. And so again, you have that road. This is the old life that I've been living, and now I'm presented with the new life. And, but wait a minute, the new life, that's requiring an awful lot here. And so, you know, this idea of saying, well, if I become a Christian, if I really follow God, then I'm going to have to stop doing a lot of these things I like to do. And so they go, no thanks. I believe in God, but I'll just kind of hang on to my old life. say Christian atheists. A lot of people are talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And so here's a question for you to consider about yourself, okay? Just ask yourself honestly, does your talk match your walk? Okay? And so that brings us to talking about walking the walk. All right? You know, it's easy to make the claims, isn't it? It's easy to talk the talk, but the question is, can you walk the walk? In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the text that we read at the beginning this morning, John says, "This is the message we have heard from you and declare, heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all."
Right.
Okay? Now, in verse 6, he says this, "If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth." If we claim, that's the talk, to have fellowship with him, yet our walk is in darkness, then we're liars, you see? In other words, if our walk doesn't match our talk, okay? If they're not together, you say, then we're lying to ourselves and to everybody else, and we're not living by the truth at all. Because the two have to match. And again, it's really easy to claim, it's really easy to make proclamations and to declare, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, but it's not as easy to walk the walk. But yet, that's what God calls upon us to do. John chapter 8, in verse 31, Jesus says this, "If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples." Okay? Now, the word "hold" there it doesn't just refer to keeping them up here in your mind. It's not intellectual knowledge of maintaining it in your head. It's an action involved in it, you see, where he's saying you hold, in other words, you live according to my teachings. Then you are truly my disciples, you see, because the way that we show that we are holding to something is by not by what we're saying, but by what we are doing in our lives. And then in verse 32, he says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." How do we know the truth? By holding to the teachings of Jesus, actually living them in our lives. But go back and look at verse 7 of 1 John chapter 1. "But," he says, "if we walk in the light as he is in the light," okay? Not just what we're claiming, but our daily walk. If our walk daily in our lives is in the light with Jesus, then look at what we have. We have fellowship with one another. And keep in mind, that one another that he's referring to here is God. It's not one another this way. You say, it's fellowship with God. You say, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. And so, we're walking with Jesus. Okay. The Christian atheist. Those who believe in God and even who call upon him as their Savior, but yet live their lives on a daily basis as if God doesn't really exist, because he really makes no impact in their daily lives. What I'm challenging this church family with is for us to really look at our personal lives and to see if maybe that's me. Could that be me? Because you see, what God wants is for you to walk in the light with him. Okay? But you can't walk in the light with him if all you're doing is talking, and yet you're walking in darkness. For God calls upon every single one of us and invites us to walk in the light with Him. And that's what we're going to be examining and looking at in this study, is some of those various things that cause us some struggles in our daily lives that might cause us to be claiming one thing but living something completely different. It really is a matter of us having to be really honest with ourselves and to look at our own lives. I don't look at anybody else and go, oh, I know who he's talking about. You know? It's a matter of us looking at ourselves honestly and saying, okay, where am I? Okay. Now, the good thing is that if that's where you are, you don't have to stay there. You see, God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to walk in the light, truly walk in the light with Him. And that's what we want to try to accomplish for everyone. You see? And so we start out this morning with this, and we offer an invitation for anybody that's here this morning that maybe, first of all, maybe some of the things that you heard this morning and saw this morning are kind of going, ooh, man, that's really hitting close to home. Maybe I need to focus on this. Maybe I need some help or some prayers or some guidance or what have you. We want to do that for you this morning. There may be somebody here this morning who you haven't given your life to Christ yet. You're not a Christian because you have not called upon Him as your Lord and given your life to Him. You're still lost in your sins. But perhaps maybe you're at a point in your life where you realize that, yeah, that's what you want to do is give your life to Him. You really want Jesus to be Lord of your life, and you can do that this morning. You can make that happen. You need to repent of your sins and call upon Jesus as your Lord. That means Master. You say, you need to have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now this morning. You don't have to wait. That's what you're ready to do. I'll be up here in the front to receive anyone who would like to come up and talk here. Dale will be in the back. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, he'll be back there to receive you. Whatever we can do to help you, let's stand together.